controls the past, controls the future. Who controls the present, controls the past.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
All you got to do is start looking around, start thinking for yourself, start investigating things, and you will see it all right there. So you have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Monday, June 3rd, 2013, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, on the InfoWars Nightly News, InfoWars brings you the latest from Bilderberg. Then, Rand Paul pushes for legalization of industrial hemp. And Motorola introduces not only a tattoo, but a pill to track everything you do. All that and more coming up on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, Alex Jones is now in Watford, UK, covering this year's Bilderberg meeting. There was concern that he might not be allowed into the country after what happened to Michael Savage a few years ago. And in fact, Alex was hassled and delayed more than other staff who traveled separately. But he is there now, and he is joined by other reporters, Paul Joseph Watson, Leanne McAdoo, and staffer Richard Reeves. Now, the official Bilderberg attendee list has been released, and we know who's on the other side this year. Besides usual suspects of bankers and politicians, we have internet giant Amazon.com's Jeff Bezos is there. And, of course, Google's Eric Schmidt is there. And we also have David Petraeus there, along with his new best friend, war criminal Henry Kissinger. Well, if you want to know what the real-world consequences of Bilderberg are, just take a look at the EU and the European Union. And here's a look at one of the leaders, Henry Kissinger. Frequent Bilderberg attendee Henry Kissinger has been in the news a lot lately. He was given the Intrepid Freedom Award by David Petraeus for his distinguished career defending the values of freedom and democracy.
I am deeply honored to present the 2013 Intrepid Award to my friend and my hero, the Honorable Henry A. Kissinger.
Petraeus should be more careful about who he kisses and who he kisses up to. Defending the values of freedom and democracy, Henry Kissinger? Apart from the secret bombing of Cambodia and allegations of other Vietnam War crimes, Kissinger was intimately involved with Operation Condor, a CIA campaign of terrorist operations and assassinations conducted in the 70s in South America.
They put me in the back of the truck. They then put scotch tape over our eyes, and I was very scared.
Like Operation Gladio in Europe, the CIA used terrorism to fight communism. But unlike Operation Gladio, Operation Condor defiantly operated in the open by the governments and killed more than 60,000 people.
And they had us standing there in a line. And I was the last one to be interrogated. And he, at that point, said, "You have to understand that we have to do these things because there are terrorists all over the country who would attack people like you Americans. And so we're doing this for your protection."
We had no contact with any of the people that carried out the military coup. And therefore, the coup that overthrew Allende was done without contact with the United States.
Subsequent declassified documents showed he was lying. The dirty war, the night of the pencils, massacres, the disappeared, and death flights. These are the legacy of Kissinger, the CIA, and their South American partners.
There were two parallel universes. One was the life that, you know, you go to school, you go shopping, you catch the bus, and then there's, you get to school, and some people didn't come back to school, and then people say, well, he was arrested or whatever. And so it was completely unreal, because you just went to school and they taught you math, history, music, and then you came back home to look for your dad, for your friends, and it's just completely unreal. You just start living this schizophrenic life where you pretend that everything is normal and then come back home, and then it's back to a tragedy.
The most dramatic moment of the hearing about Pinochet was the testimony of the Scotland Yard officer. On such and such a date,
I was handed a warrant and I went to a house. 11:30, I was shown in. I then went into a room and I saw a man that I recognized as the prisoner. Prisoner, isn't that a great room? The prisoner. And I walked up to him and he stood. And I said, Augusto Pinochet Ugarte, I arrest you, sir, for the crimes of conspiracy and torture. And I tell you, I thought, busted.
And Pinochet was arrested in London. Kissinger, who was also under investigation in several other nations, abruptly canceled his appearance there. But in addition to war crimes and terrorism, what Henry Kissinger is most remembered for is his opening to China, which was really about making China the slave labor manufacturing base for multinational corporations, all part of the politicians' and bankers' plans for world government.
We talk a lot about world community, but the fact is there has never been a world community before. We are now facing a common challenge. And the challenge is how to build a world order for the first time in history on a global basis.
China was the perfect place for the globalists to set up their base, a small ruling elite that ruled with an iron fist. Here's how Henry Kissinger did it.
When we started this relationship, there was next to no trade between China and the United States.
Kissinger then tells the audience that what he and Nixon first did was to allow American tourists in Hong Kong to buy up to $100 worth of Chinese goods. He says that was a daring move. The audience laughs and then he says,
we have now reached a completely different stage in the relationship.
What an understatement. Arguably the quickest and most complete transfer of wealth in peacetime history. A transfer from the American people to a few Chinese ruling elite, not from Americans to the Chinese people, but a transfer of wealth to multinational corporations and a few Chinese oligarchs who continue to use the Chinese people as slaves. The same oligarchs that Kissinger's patron, David Rockefeller, gushed in glowing praise back in 73. He said, whatever the price of the Chinese Revolution, it has obviously succeeded not only in producing more efficient and dedicated administration, but also in fostering high morale and community of purpose. The social experiment in China under Chairman Mao's leadership is one of the most important and successful in human history. Yeah, Mao and the Chinese communists really know how to treat the underclasses, according to Rockefeller.
I went to Xinjiang area in Henan province and Anhui province to do interviews. The survivors there told me almost every village had cannibal incidents, and some people even ate their own children.
The Great Famine came amidst Mao's Great Leap Forward campaign.
When I was growing up, it's not uncommon for parents to tell their children, eat your food because children in China are starving. What we now know is that a conservative estimate of between 50 and 80 million were starved to death by Mao's policies. Mao's social experiment, the Cultural Revolution, the despotism that caused the starvation of tens of millions of people, Rockefeller calls the most important and successful experiment in human history. Kissinger and Rockefeller have exhibited contempt for both the rule of law and for human life throughout their lives. They and other globalists haven't just stolen American wealth. They've used the EU and the euro to create financial crisis in Europe, impoverishing Europeans and destroying national sovereignty throughout Europe. Just 3 days before the 2013 Bilderberg meeting, over 3,000 demonstrators protested the European Central Bank in Frankfurt. We now see the fruit of decades of secretive meetings being held by the Bilderberg Group with the leadership of Kissinger and Rockefeller. For 2 days, protesters have been protesting the fruits of Bilderberg past. Will they now cross the channel and protest Bilderberg in London as the banksters, puppet politicians, and Google plot their next steps? Bilderberg's role in creating European and international banking crises has to be exposed. And people need to ask why politicians and bankers are meeting in such closely guarded secrecy. The mainstream media's owners are there, but not their reporters. InfoWars will be there. And we'll be reporting at InfoWars.com/B for all the latest updates and information. And that brings us to our quote of the day from an Argentinian, Jorge Luis Borges. He says, the future is inevitable and precise, but it may not occur. God lurks in the gaps. God doesn't just lurk in the gaps. He's in control, folks. And, you know, there's speaking of Henry Kissinger, I guess his arch nemesis, Christopher Hitchens, who wrote the book, The Trials of Henry Kissinger, that you saw a clip of that movie in that previous report. It was reported to have seen Henry Kissinger in the Sistine Chapel looking at Michelangelo's painting and staring at the section of hell, and Christopher Hitchens says, I guess he's apartment shopping. Well, we should all remember that there's consequences for what we do in life, and certainly for the kinds of things that Henry Kissinger has been involved in and that we're worried that are being contemplated at the Bilderberg Group. Now, InfoWars reporters have confronted Bilderberg security over canceled reservations. Now, on the list, we see the owners of mainstream media, but of course, their journalists were not only silent, but they also, in past years, have attacked real reporters who actually talked about the secretive meeting. They don't like real reporters being there either. And so what they did in this particular case was, even though we had reservations for InfoWars staff well in advance and for days that had not been blocked out for the Bilderberg meeting, they were canceled at the very last minute in violation of discrimination rules.
Hello, sir. Hi, it's Greg the Security Manager. Can I ask you to turn the cameras off, please?
Now we were wondering why our reservation has been cancelled. Is that correct?
The reservations have been cancelled, as you're fully aware. Okay? We're not at liberty to say anymore.
But you know that under European law, 2010 Equality Act, you can't discriminate against somebody by denying them services or a hotel room.
Like I said, I'm not at liberty to say anymore. I'm not going to discuss legal terms with you either. Okay, we don't necessarily need to give you reason.
Well, you do under the law.
Well, not everyone has sold out to the Bilderberg Group. A senior Watford politician is slamming the Bilderberg security operation. InfoWars reports a Watford Borough Council cabinet member has described the security operation surrounding the secretive Bilderberg meeting set to take place at the Grove Hotel in Watford, England, as disgraceful. Residents fear that these last-minute decisions, which will impact massively on their lives, will set the precedent for any future events of this type or scale which the Grove is actively seeking to run, he says. When, in just over a week's time, the circus has left town, we will have to pick up the pieces, sort out the mess, make good any damage caused by the Grove of Chandler's Cross, will just sit back and enjoy its global acclamation, said the counselor. Well, you can follow all the latest breaking news at InfoWars.com/B. Everything that's going to be happening at Bilderberg, there's going to be a lot going on this week, and we're going to be posting it there. There's going to be people from David Icke to Luke Radowski. So follow all the latest breaking news. Again, that's at InfoWars.com/B. Well, Bilderberg's Google may not want you watching them, but they certainly want to know everything about you. You may recall that Motorola's mobile division was recently purchased by Google. Now we learn that Motorola's got a scheme for putting a password in a pill and in electronic tattoos. Motorola's Advanced Technology and Projects Group Chief, Regina Dugan, disclosed over the weekend at the D11 conference that the tech firm is working on electronic tattoos or implantable chips that would make the human body a tool for identification. Aside from the electronic tattoo, Motorola is experimenting with a password pill that a person swallows. The person would then transmit a signal to devices outside the body powered by stomach acids. Now, what makes this interesting is that this person, who is now the technology chief at Motorola Mobile under Google, Regina Dugan, is also the former head of DARPA. And the other part of this is, why are they doing this? This certainly isn't something that's being driven by consumers. Are you really so worried about your password that you're willing to swallow a pill or put a password, a tattoo on your body? I don't think so. We should wonder, who is so concerned about this, and why do they want this there? Obviously, this is nothing more than more control, more spying, more snooping on you by Google and the government, and the Bilderberg people, of course. Now, ISSA is having congressional hearings about the IRS and Fast and Furious and many other things, and he's got a lot of the same concerns about the truth and the transparency of the White House that we do. He dismisses Carney as, quote, a paid liar.
President's spokesperson is saying whatever is convenient at the time, right, and the story changes. What we have are people who come in to transcribe interviews. They're saying under penalty of crimes that certain things are true. We have subpoenaed documents that would support that they say emails went back and forth. The administration is so far not providing those documents.
saying whatever is convenient and changing the story constantly. He goes on to say, their paid liar, their spokesperson, the picture behind, he's still making up things about what happened and calling this a local rogue. You know, this is kind of like the lone gunman theory that they always put out there, but this is related to their scandals, not to an assassination, not to a school shooting, not to a bombing. But we see the same pattern of behavior, the same MO over and over again. Changing stories, all of them lies, no accountability, lying under oath, and yet nothing happens. And I should point out that this isn't something that just is the Obama administration. They're taking it to an all new level, but this is something that's gone on with past administrations, most recently the George Bush administration. Now, Rand Paul is pushing for legislation of industrialized hemp and a new farm bill. Natural News reports Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, who is reportedly working with Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell to pass an amendment to the new farm bill that would once again legalize industrial hemp production in the U.S. and consequently jumpstart the national economy. Even though hemp contains less than 1% tetrahydrocannabinol, the primary psychoactive drug found in marijuana, the Controlled Substances Act erroneously recognizes hemp as a Schedule I drug, that's the highest classification, with a high potential for abuse, quote-unquote, despite the fact that it is impossible to get high from smoking or eating hemp. Hemp is what they used to use to make ropes. And, of course, you've probably seen the World War II propaganda film Hemp for Victory that was put out by the U.S. Navy. Well, just as it looks like we're getting a glimmer of sanity in the war on drugs, there's more insanity on the war against freedom of food and freedom of choice in our food. The state of Wisconsin is now looking to revoke bail for raw milk farmer Vernon Hershberger, reports the Wisconsin State Journal. State officials on Friday asked a Sauk County judge to send farmer Vernon Hershberger to jail for breaking conditions of his bail. The state's motion to revoke his bail cites a Capital Times report Wednesday in which the Loganville dairy farmer is quoted as saying he continued to sell raw milk and other farm products after the state ordered him to stop. The terms of his bail specify that he not sell or process dairy products without a license. Well, if you caught our report last week with his lawyer, Elizabeth Rich, you know that that's really kind of an absurdity because you can't get a license to sell raw milk in Wisconsin. That's the whole point. So they're haranguing him and trying to send him back to jail for selling raw milk without a license, but they won't issue a license. It's kind of like telling somebody that they have to get a license to grow hemp to make a rope, but then, of course, you can't because hemp is a class one drug, even though it has no psychoactive properties. Well, it looks increasingly like the only way that we're going to get our freedoms back is at the lowest local level. And we have someone coming up right after the break who did just that, successfully fighting smart meters. Her name is Sheila Hemphill, and we're going to be talking to her about how she did it and how you can learn from her experiences to do it yourself. Right after the break. Stay tuned.
As we saw in Katrina, and as we are watching now in New York and New Jersey, the federal government can't and won't help you in a crisis. FEMA ran out of water and MREs in days. Electricity is still off to over 1 million people. The Red Cross, who is quick to beg for money, is now slow to react. Don't put it off any longer. Get prepared today. The InfoWars Shop is the largest distributor of ProPure water filter systems. And now, get 15% off your ProPure order with the promo code WATER15. While you're on InfoWarsShop.com, check out these other great preparedness items. The Aquapod Kit lets you store up to 65 gallons of water in your bathtub. Pocket Socket provides you with manual electricity for small electronics like your cell phone. The Life Straw is great for your bug out bag. And check out our complete line of Interfood products for great tasting and nutritionally dense foods that have a great shelf life. If you are looking to secure your home in a crisis, you can order Strategic Relocations the film, a great companion to the book Strategic Relocations 3rd Edition and The Secure Home by Joel Skousen. When the time to perform arrives, the time to prepare has already passed. Get prepared now, so if a crisis strikes your home, you and your family will be secure. Go to InfoWarsShop.com And don't forget the promo code WATER15.
I'm Darren McBreen, and these are some of the new items that are available now at InfoWarsShop.com.
Alert the public to Obama's blatant abuse of power with the new Obama t-shirt. Obama's Joker face on the front and come and take it on the back. It's time to publicly call him out for what he is, a tyrant. Defend the Second Amendment with our top seller come and take it t-shirts. And look at that, women's cut tank tops and t-shirts now available. Nice hat. Plus, the Don't Tread on Me flag. And now you can become a micro distributor of the InfoWars magazine. Plus, get your own copy delivered right to your door each and every month. And if you're tired like I am of you and your family being exposed to polluted drinking water, get the Pro One High Performance Water Filter. It gets rid of all pathogenic bacteria, cysts, fluoride, heavy metals, and numerous other contaminants.
So join the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
Well, smart meters are coming to you. You might even say they're coming at you. Back in 2003, the U.S. Department of Energy published a report called Grid 2030, a national vision for electricity's second 100 years. Now, their plans are to roll this out to 50% of the homes by 2020 and to 100% of the homes by 2030. And like everything the government does, you could say it either comes after your wealth or your health or it spies on you. And certainly all three of those are present in smart meters. And people who know what they're about are adamant that they don't want them on their homes. Now, just back in January, we had a lady in Naperville, Illinois, and she had a run-in with the police about trespassing on her property and installing a smart meter against her will. And even one of her neighbors who was filming this got arrested for filming the encounter.
Here's UPA installers crossing over locked fences and against consent. They are going onto people's properties with police permission. They are crossing over locked fences. Laura, do you give consent to have this smart meter installed?
No, absolutely not. This is putting my child in harm's way. My child has a chronic illness, and it could affect her illness and make it worse, and I absolutely don't agree.
Can I step away from the fence for a minute?
Why?
So I can get through?
Okay, so police are now crossing locked fences without homeowners' consents and opening... Laura, do you give consent for this
Absolutely
officer
not.
To go onto her property?
He's not protecting me. He's protecting the city. This is like a dictatorship.
Officer, do you feel comfortable with what you're doing?
No, he doesn't.
So, Laura, you're the homeowner. Those two men that are on your property.
How can you go to sleep and have a good conscience? Knowing that my daughter is chronically ill and this could affect her illness.
Do you give consent for this people, UPA installers
Absolutely
to be on your property?
Absolutely not.
And is your fence locked?
Absolutely.
Your fence is locked.
Now, here's someone taking action from Harris County last July 2012. And she actually ran the person off with a gun.
First, a warning.
And so I came back and tried to put my hand in front of him like this.
Then a scuffle.
And he just kept pushing me away and pushing me away. And
what was the guy after?
This meter.
Yep, an electric meter.
He wanted to replace it with a new one like this, a so-called smart meter.
Problem was, Thelma Tarmina wanted to keep her old one. She had put up warning signs to leave it alone. But the worker wouldn't listen, so Tarmina grabbed her gun.
And when he saw it, he turned and he went back the other way.
But there's a better and more successful route to take. And we're going to talk to Sheila Hemphill and her son Coleman Hemphill. They were very successful in getting smart meters defeated in Brady, Texas. This was an article that was in the New York Times where they talked about her victory. She called it her San Jacinto. And if you don't know Texas history, you've probably heard of the Alamo. You may not have heard of the Battle of Goliad, where those are both essentially defeats. But San Jacinto was where that all turned around, where people got their independence over tyranny. And that's exactly what happened with smart meters in Brady, Texas. And Sheila Hemphill is here to tell us how she did it and how you can do it. Well, thank you, Sheila, and thank you, Coleman, for coming in, and thank you for your activism. It was great to hear about that on Alex Jones' show, and we want to hear everything that you did in Texas, what worked, what didn't work, and what you've got planned for the future to help other people in other parts of the country. But we want to talk about why people would be concerned about smart meters. A lot of our listeners know about those issues, and they've got friends who don't know about those issues. So maybe they can use this interview to educate them, and there's a lot of different issues to cover with this. There's a money issue. That's going to get a lot of people who don't care about privacy or don't care about health. And we do have someone coming up that's you've talked to, that's an expert witness, Curtis Bennett, who's a chief science officer with Thermographics Consulting Corporation. And you said he actually came in and was part of your hearing, wasn't he?
When we first started to try to educate the public about the potential public health problems that had been recognized by the lieutenant governor, such that he started Senate hearings back in October and with the PUC about potential health problems, which our city council was completely oblivious that they had taken place, we were trying to educate the public on any potential health problems associated with this technology, and basically was denied access to be an action item on the agenda. So you can't get much done in 2 to 10 minutes on this complex issue.
Right.
So when that took place, I put together a town hall meeting, just a place to come and kind of gather people in for information. And I got Curtis's name about 30 minutes before the meeting, and he was available to do a conference call with us. And when you understand the caliber of expertise that this man has, that he would come and spend 30 to 40 minutes with a small group of 5,000 in the center of Texas, it was quite a sobering explanation from Curtis, which I'm excited to hear about it.
Yes. I'm anxious to hear what he has to say. And I think one of the things that I find interesting is that when people understand the issues involved here, they get real adamant that they don't want these smart meters. We've had a couple of women who made the news that we've talked to here at InfoWars, one from Naperville, Illinois, another one from Houston, Texas. You know the lady in Houston, Texas.
No, Thelma.
She actually pulled a gun on the person who came to install the meter.
After she was assaulted.
That's right.
By the same man who came to install the meter.
That's right.
And that's not
right.
Unique.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And in Illinois, of course, they were escorted by police. And so if you pull a gun on them, they'll probably kill you. But that turned out very differently. They bullied their way in, and they did install their smart meter
on the homes of private property owners.
That's right.
You lose your sovereignty of your home.
Your home is no longer your castle.
That's
they can
correct.
Put this on there. And what we're talking about, that let's talk about the first issue. Let's talk about privacy and what they're using this for. As I mentioned in the introduction, this is something that goes back 10 years. And tentatively, they're just using this to measure your energy use, but there's a lot more that they can measure with this smart meter.
A better word is control. Mm-hmm. Measure would be the analog meters that were reliable, had a 20 to 30 year service life to them. These new smart meters are estimated anywhere from the 5 to 7 year range is what I've been researching, is what I've been finding as far as the longevity of them. But they're much more complex than just measuring energy. They are designed with two-way communication to the collector sites that go like on water towers that penetrate an entire service area. Mm-hmm. Once it's collected at the water towers, that communications then go usually to the utility companies. And in Brady, the company Census was so proud of their powerful transmitters of being able to cover 300 square miles with the transmissions of these devices on your home. Now, that would be in the 900 megahertz frequency communication with the radio transmitters.
And that's going to get into our health stuff here. But before we get off of the privacy...
Fortunately, right now, I mean, this is something that Texas at a state level is looking at. And we both testified before the Texas Business and Commerce Committee and then also the Texas Public Utility Commission. Mm-hmm. And some of the testimony there that was most fascinating to me is one of the women there was an immigrant from Romania who's now a lawyer in Dallas, talking about how these same kind of efforts from the government were put into place over the utilities to where when the population dissented in any way, they were able to cut off their utilities.
Well, it was just within the last year that Petraeus said that they were putting those kinds of capabilities into all kinds of appliances.
Yes.
So those are
now that would be a Zigbee
line.
Chip, which would be a 2.4 gigahertz frequency, which is designed to communicate with each smart appliance. Mm. So these appliances would be transmitting. And what we're finding is even before people have a smart meter as the mothership to gather this data, these appliances are already transmitting these frequencies through your home.
It's amazing how crude Orwell's 1984 vision is, isn't it?
Oh.
The technology is so much more pervasive, so much broader, so much deeper in its complexity, and he couldn't even imagine it. I mean, he just had the general idea. What if they listened to you electronically? Not understanding just how detailed that could be. But you mentioned that it was about control.
Yes.
And that really, to my mind, brings up the issue of money. A lot of people who don't really care about privacy or don't understand the health issues, they understand the money issue. And what we've seen, and they talked about this in the document I mentioned in the beginning as an introduction, the Department of Energy 10 years ago was talking about how, at that time, energy construction of new power plants was stagnant. And now what they've done is they're shutting them down in wholesale in the name of global warming. And I see this all as just a method to manage that decline. And that's the way the Department of Energy saw it 10 years ago. So instead of giving us cheap energy, which we all know is the key to, if you look at it historically, that's the key to lifestyle and to health and longevity, is access to abundant energy.
Well, for Texas, it's the loss of our sovereignty.
Yes.
There's the East
that's
Grid,
another.
West Grid, and Texas has its own grid. That if they can integrate this with the rest of the nation, then they have control over the sovereignty of Texas independence from an energy standpoint. Now, the end game on the reports that are available show that by 2030, they want to have a North American grid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, David, am I aware of some cheap energy around that's so abundant that we have the ability to be just making it available to the entire North American continent?
Right, right.
I don't think so.
And we've already seen utility rates skyrocketing as they're shutting down plant after plant after plant, or putting opening up new power plants that are very, very expensive. And this is just a way of managing that. And we've already seen in Europe,
yes,
a lot of people in Germany and elsewhere, where the cost of utilities have skyrocketed because of carbon permissions and credits and that sort of thing, so that you have people who are at the low end of the scale, people who are pensioners, are basically driven into poverty by the utility bills. And so this whole thing with smart meters is just a way to manage it. When they did an experiment in Chicago, they wanted to see if they could affect, they want to say that they're going to affect our usage by shifting us to non-peak times. But they found that that really didn't affect anybody's purchasing habits. All it did was increase their utility bill, which they're perfectly fine about doing that.
Oh, absolutely. It's a very strategic means of revenue generation.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you look into it deeper in these public-private ventures, guess who gets to build the infrastructure with taxpayer money to get the network built? And then guess who gets to provide the service? Which one's public and which one do you think is private?
Mm-hmm.
The public gets the infrastructure. And what's even more significant, the public is going to be assuming the liability once all this these health consequences. When we get to health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do that now. So we've talked about privacy and the fact that they can monitor everything that you're doing. We've talked about the fact they can control your utility usage. And by doing that and saying they're going to have a tiered structure based on the time of day that you use your energy, they can send your rates through the roof,
which they're already doing.
As they're shutting down power plants. Now, the next thing on here, before we get to how you stop this, is health. Let's talk about health.
Well, as some are maybe aware, in the Texas legislature only meets every 2 years, and we're just ending up. There was Senate Bill 241 by John Corona out of Dallas that would have allowed it an opt-out at no charge for all Texas citizens. So there was a big lobbying effort to try
to... We can't let people decide, make decisions about their life, right?
The very idea.
Imagine that.
Wanting it off your home.
An opt-out, just to have an opt-out.
Just to have an opt-out at no charge. And the statements of arrogance over, well, everybody's happy with their smart meter. David, people don't even know they have a smart meter. They don't even know what one is. How can you be against something you don't even know you have?
Mm-hmm.
So when we were discussing the various different issues, you're right, money gets a lot of people's attention. Because in Brady, we were indebted $2.5 million to deploy meters in 3,000 homes.
And Brady was where you got this pass.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. So that's gas, water, and electric. So that's 9,000 meters emitting 2 watts of energy per meter. That is 18,000 watts of energy that's in the environment that wasn't there before they put in this infrastructure. And that's a small community. That's a small number of meters. Go to Houston, go to Dallas, and then you start looking at the radiation penetration of these environments, and then you start looking at the impact it's having globally, because smart meters are a global initiative.
And we're really dealing with the cumulative effect of all of this wireless technology. Mm-hmm. 15 years ago, people didn't have Wi-Fi.
10 years ago.
Ten years ago, people didn't have Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. And just in the last 25 years, and from a health concern, both from a human health concern as well as a global Earth concern, when we have numbers like our 90% of our bee population has gone away domestically in the United States over the last 25 years, or how autism has gone from 1 in 2,500 to 1 in 50 from 1975 to now. How is 110 3 years ago? So the environment that we're in right now has not always existed this way at all.
They're changing the environment so quickly, it's hard to tell which factor is predominating.
Mm-hmm. Well, but here's what you got to understand, and this is what I'm loving when Curtis gets on here. The interview coming up, it will be about his cross-examination of the PUC representatives in Canada. Now, United Kingdom has the highest, quote, acceptable safe measure levels of electromagnetic field exposure. Second to that is Canada with their Safety Code 6 and the United States with the FCC, who are the regulatory bodies that determine that. Mm-hmm. Curtis was able, under oath, above all parties, to cross-examine the PUC representatives and get into the aspect of asking them about whether they considered the human or any living organism's existing electrobiofield in their research. So the point I really want to make is that this issue has absolutely nothing to do with the need of valid, peer-reviewed medical evidence to support that these frequencies are damaging to all living, living organisms.
Because they already exist.
We don't like data.
Abundance. Oh, no.
I think it's amazing that they even have to do this wirelessly. I mean, it's a level that's about 300 times what you get from a cell phone, done in bursts. And yet, with the utility companies, they're running electricity via wire into every one of these homes. Why couldn't they just multiplex the signal on it? They did that in Italy.
Absolutely.
And Curtis will go into that also, in how insulating wires is built into your business code or to your building codes because you don't want to stimulate tissue because the only people licensed to stimulate tissue are doctors. And so when they blast off energy in these electromagnetic fields wirelessly, you become the conductor. You become the insulator because it's random energy. At frequency
every cell
levels,
has a frequency, a voltage of negative 70 millivolts. Mm-hmm. So can't wait till you hear, listen to Curtis.
Yeah, now when we were talking about, I mentioned Italy when we were waiting
Italy
to go on, and you said you had some insight as to why it's not wireless in Italy.
Well, last year, I believe it was March 17, 2011, there was a lawsuit brought up regarding the Vatican's high-powered radio frequency transmitting towers being responsible for leukemia. Childhood leukemia and various different types of cancer in Italy, and the Vatican lost that suit. Now, it may be appealed. I don't know the current status of it, but that was the last report I received, is that...
Well, you know, certainly we know that electrical systems, that's how you stimulate muscles, that sort of thing. I mean, they're doing a lot of work now. DARPA is doing some pretty freaky stuff in terms of controlling muscles, controlling limbs, that sort of thing. Some of it can be good. Some of it can be helping people who are amputees. But the fact that you can control your body electrically, that it has an effect, it's a very well-demonstrated, understood issue. You've even got some pictures here of some effects that
yes,
people can actually see, because it's hard to see. You can't see electricity, so we have to look at it in a different way. This is some Curlian photography.
This is called Curlian photography, which you can actually see the energy emitting from any living organism, because any living organism is emitting energy. So the picture here is an organically grown mushroom, and you'll notice how you can see the intense emissions from the organically grown product. The one on the right is commercially grown. That is demonstrating the damaging effects of the pesticides and herbicides. So we get energy from the Earth's geomagnetic field, basically providing energy for every cell function in our body. We also get energy from the food we eat. So if you're not getting energy from the food we eat, guess who's going to be tired?
Mm-hmm.
How many people are tired and fatigued? So this image shows that how anything living, plants, humans, animals, all emit energy because we're living, every cell. In fact, in the 1970s, a Dr. Fritz Albert Popp was nominated for the Nobel Prize for showing that every cell has a semi-crystalline matrix and emits light.
Hmm.
Light is a frequency.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely, yeah.
So now if you would go and on YouTube, if you look up the documentary Resonance, about an hour and 20 minutes into the video, it's talking about there's over 12,000 medical research papers documenting how the pineal gland, which senses light and darkness, so that when you go to sleep in darkness, it should start releasing melatonin into the body, which helps for sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But another major factor of melatonin is its antioxidant properties that helps the body repair from damages. So what was interesting in some of this information is, are we asking the right question? Are these frequencies causing cancer, or are they inhibiting the body's ability to fight it?
Right.
That's correct.
Right. That's interesting.
So when you look at women with breast cancer, they have one-tenth the amount of melatonin levels. Men with prostate and children with autism have 50% the amount of melatonin levels. Now, of all the magnitude of health issues that can occur, this information comes from the National Medical Research Institute of 1971. Now, this was before all the cordless home phones, the baby monitors, the Wi-Fi. So this was even before that. But frequencies are frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't matter what's... I mean, yes, it does matter what's emitting it. But here are some of the symptoms. We have problems with bone and bone marrow. Well, why is that significant? Red blood cell.
Right.
Right? That's the whole carrying of all your oxygen. We have problems with altered menstrual activity. Well, it's rampant. For all your viewers out there, all they have to do is ask. Nobody really talks about this, but it's rampant. And so the solution that medical medicine offers are birth control pills to monitor cycles.
Wow.
So,
well, like you said at the beginning here, when we started talking about health, everything has changed so rapidly that there really hasn't been any research done to see what the long-term effects are on things. And more often than not, we're seeing new technologies introduced into our food, into our environment, and there hasn't been any testing. And often they'll use as an excuse to say, well, there's no tests that show that it's negative.
That's what's beautiful about Dr. Magda Havas out of Trent University in Canada, her research on what she's defining as the type 3 diabetes. This is based off a 2008 medical peer-reviewed report, and what's beautiful about it is the simplicity that here you can easily manage the electromagnetic exposure of a person. And in one example, a woman took her blood sugar and went for a 20-minute walk every day for a week. Each day after her 20-minute walk out in her neighborhood, her blood sugar would drop consistently. The next week, she goes and walks the same time frame on an electromagnetic treadmill. Each day, her blood sugar goes up. So there are people who are electromagnetically sensitive that react to these frequencies much more so than, say,
that's
your average population.
And with this issue, as opposed to GMOs or vaccines, that there are huge concerns with that. And again, it's not for lack of information on those topics. The smart meters and this wireless technology are so much scarier because you can't run away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I live in an apartment complex and I sleep above 11 smart meters. I have 10 Wi-Fi signals around me at all times and people on cell phones all the time. I have, in my apartment complex, talked to two people who developed seizures after moving into the apartment complex. People rampant issues with sleeping. And the other day, I go and eat with a family, and I see this infant there in between her Wi-Fi router, her cordless baby monitor, under her compact fluorescent bulbs. And so knowing what I know, I can't help but feel like I'm seeing a baby in a microwave.
Right.
I know the effects that these have.
That's the key thing. It's education, but it's also having the power to opt out of that. And that's one of the things
yes.
we really want to talk to you about
yes.
because you had a big victory. It was written up in the New York Times, and we want to hear a little bit about what you did, the struggles that you ran into, and then where this is going for the future. And we're getting short on time,
yes.
so give
yes.
us the compressed version of that.
Yes. Okay. after a large fight at the municipal level about even being inhibited to have time of dialogue with my elected officials, long story, but through a visit with the city attorney, I was asking him about a law that allowed citizens to submit amendment changes to their charter. And he showed me, got out his book and showed me Texas Local Government Code 9.004, which is available to any home rule charter community in Texas. And there's about 350 of them. Now, under this code, the citizens write up the language that goes on the petition. It requires 5% of the registered voters or 20,000 signatures, whichever is the less number. Once you get your signatures in place, you have to start getting involved with your city charter. And I am a recovering member of the ignorant masses who didn't even realize anything about a city charter, mm-hmm. How they function, charter review commissions, you know, amendment changes. You've got to engage. So the people who are listening to this, I have a website. I have a little wellness shop. It's called Help Yourself Wellness Shop. The website is hyws.us. And if you click on Take Charge and 9.004, I'm providing a step 1, 2, 3, 4 of what you need to do to be able to learn how to do the petition process in your own community.
That's great. That's really key because it took you a lot of research to do that. So now people can go there, find out what to do in Texas. Does this transfer to very many other states?
Absolutely. And I've just been in contact with the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, CELDF.org. And they are a great. I found them last night at 9 o'clock. On a Sunday night, they took my call. So it was awesome to find them because they are also having actual attorney assistance on review of the wordings.
So basically what you did was you came in and you fought this at the most local level. Because we know that Washington is hopelessly corrupt.
That's correct.
And so distant from the people, you can't really get anything done there. And it's pretty much a brick wall, even at the state legislature, as you found out.
Yes.
So what you did was you went to the lowest level, you found out exactly how the city charter works, and you took care of it at the local level.
And that's what's amazing, is when you are able to educate people on the magnitude of the impact of this technology from a security standpoint, from a health standpoint, from a money standpoint, mm-hmm. and you are able to give them something tangible that they can do. I mean, 5% petition is easy, and it's...
And see, that's the thing. Once people, like we showed the pictures at the very beginning of the interview, where you have people who are fighting off the cops, who are running off the meter guys, because they understand what this is about. And
What's at stake?
Even if you only pick up on one of those issues, every one of those issues is such a big issue. The privacy is huge. The health issues are huge. The money issues are huge. Even if you only care about one of those issues, if you understand the impact on that one issue, that's huge.
And the Texas local government code translates into other issues as well. This is not limited to just
smart
meters.
We had four amendments. We had to preserve our right of recall. The city wanted to make it where the council determined the legal definitions for recall, which basically would have required a psychiatric evaluation or a criminal or criminal offense to have occurred. David, there's a reason why they say you can't fight City Hall.
Right.
And that's because they have the taxpayer-funded attorney firms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they fight you. So even if you win a case, they appeal. So even the court system... And I'm almost a little concerned about the court system, where I'm getting the feeling where the establishment protects the establishment.
No, really?
I'm a latecomer.
Who would have thought? Well, thank you so much for talking to us about this. And we've got a little bit of time left on the interview, and I definitely want to get Curtis in and talk a little bit more about what he's found out about the health issues. Thank you so much for everything that you've done. That's a great site to go to. I want everybody to go there and see how they can do this in their community, because you said this is how many states now that...
Well, we've been contacted by 37 different counties, individuals in 37 counties who want to participate, and it's been really great to bring in some people that are very qualified in the field. Barry Klein with the Houston Property Association is trains people how to do petition.
Right.
And then with the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, the team is coming together mm-hmm. to be able to empower every person in their own community. So there's help. That's all great. They need to do is contact us and start learning and acting. That's something great. In our power to do.
And to be honest, it's really not fun. This is not a fun thing to have to go and tell people.
No. Mm-hmm.
But for us that do know the truth, they're fueled with the truth. It's every person's responsibility.
It becomes something of a burden.
Like I said before,
once you understand what it is on just even one of these issues, you've got a burden now to do something about it. Thank you so much for doing that. And just give us that website one more time, Sheila.
It's hyws.us, Help Yourself Wellness Shop, Brady, Texas.
Great. And they'll see a link there that'll go to the...
Take Charge.
Okay, super.
9.004, and there's also various different documentaries on the EMF information issues.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. I really do appreciate that. And we're going to go to Curtis right now. We have on the phone Curtis Bennett. He's a Chief Science Officer for Thermographics Consulting Corporation. He's given expert testimony about the health effects of smart meters, and we've got him here to give us some more information about the health effects. Curtis, thank you for joining us.
Listen, it's my pleasure to talk about this important topic.
Tell us a little bit about what you do for a living and how you came to get concerned about smart meters.
My background is I'm a nationally qualified Red Seal journeyman electrician. I've got a separate education in building construction engineering technology, and I've got a 33-year background in infrared consulting, which is seeing temperature beyond our visible spectrum. We consult for everybody across the board, all industry, oil, gas, military, governments. They've used our work for standards. We essentially provide their professionals the ability to see beyond their visible spectrum so they can just deal with complex issues. So we save insurance companies and governments and fire departments and everybody a whole bunch of money. And on top of that, I lecture medical education for education credits doctors need for licensing. And that is now, that program is recognized across all 50 states, plus I believe Canada and Mexico as well.
Wow, that's very impressive. Tell us about how you got on the health issues of smart meters and what you learned about that.
Well, being an electrician, being an electrical professional, and I chose, you know, my background very carefully. I didn't want to do electrical engineering. But something that we do in providing electrical is we're very careful in how we deploy anything that's wireless. Because when you use something that's wireless, you have to take into consideration what the frequencies interact with. And that's the reason why we'll actually confine EMFs for electricity in our homes to an insulated conductor. And so that when those wires are run together, the lines of electromagnetic flux actually cancel each other off. So it was talking with medical professionals, and they talked about people complaining about frequencies hurting them. And I said, I don't even know what kind of frequencies you're talking about. And when they started talking about, they talked about Wi-Fi in school, and that's how I ended up providing expert testimony for Canadian Parliament Standing Committee on this, is that you just don't employ wireless technologies in a classroom and bathe the children in those frequencies, because you've essentially put them inside the circuit with frequencies that go through them. Now, when it came to the deployment of smart meters, I was really concerned about it, because everybody kept talking about the smart meter as an end-use device. Even for the Texas Senate and for providing information for the Texas Senate and for the Texas PUC, they talk about the smart meter as an end-use device on a wireless circuit and talk about a short distance from that smart meter making you safe. But in the same token, Oncor Utility in Texas admitted through their lawyers that a smart meter router covers an average of 5 square miles. One smart meter router. One smart meter collector covers an average of 125 square miles. And where that is horrific is it puts everything in 125 square miles inside an electrical circuit. Now, where this gets really important to what you're talking about with this cross-examination of a utility in their application, I was contacting even our government, our authority on these different issues and asking them for information, and politicians were just trying to walk around the issue or trying to talk around the issue. And it wasn't until I was a registered intervener in a utilities application to our Public Utilities Commission that I found out why. Our government, as one example, actually allowed our major provincial utility to bypass all regulatory process to install a smart grid. What happened with that is they said because they're the experts, and this is in the transcripts of their final submissions, which I'm going to forward to you. But what these guys did as a utility is they didn't contact any other departments, biologists, hydrologists. It doesn't matter whether it's fish spawning, animals, anything to do with agriculture. They didn't contact any science departments to see what would happen if you bathe an entire province or thousands of square miles with frequencies that go through walls and roofs. And under cross-examination, their electrical engineer admitted they penetrate the ground up to 3 feet. And,
wow.
And here's what's horrible.
So basically, this is the Public Utility Commission saying that we're experts and we don't need to conduct any tests or ask any other scientists about what they think about this or what they know about this. It's kind of the typical appeal to authority that you typically hear, right?
Actually, where this makes this worse is our Public Utility Commission here is the authority and is that regulatory process, but they also are part of the government. So for the Canadian legislature or this government, as one example, to allow this utility to bypass the Public Utility Commission's regulatory process. So they didn't have to subjected to any other science from people, any disputes. They just got this blanket endorsement to install these meters throughout the province. But unfortunately, what they didn't tell municipalities with that is that if we're going to bathe your entire city with these frequencies go through walls and roofs and they go through your buildings. And so therefore, they're causing buildings to compromise building code. You can't vibrate them like this. It essentially causes molecular earthquakes. And when I say molecular earthquakes, here's an example. Smart meters run at 900 megahertz. So in these 900 megahertz, you know, when you think about a router blasting whole communities or this blanket coverage, that 900 megahertz going through walls and fire separations is actually going to cause the structure and the fire separations to flip direction at a molecular level 1.8 billion times per second.
Essentially like a microwave cooks food, right?
Like a microwave cooks food, except you're doing that with concrete and structure that's actually holding up buildings and bridges. And
that's amazing. So what you're saying then is that you can tell as an engineer that this is fatiguing the buildings because you're essentially microwaving this inert building material and weakening it. And that's not anything to do with a living organism. That's even going to be more harmful for a living organism, right?
It's absolutely more harmful for a living organism because it's actually, when you've got these high-speed frequencies, it electromagnetically induces a living organism. And so what it does is it changes voltages. It induces currents into a living organism. The building issue is just a very separate one because as soon as I even heard about this, I said, you can't vibrate buildings like that. Mm. Here's where the law relates to this in building code. You know, California, different places are designed for the seismic activity, the wind load, not taking these concrete structures at a molecular and atomic level and just shaking them violently, measurably 1.8 billion times a second, 4.8 billion times a second for a Wi-Fi. For that second antenna that's in smart meters.
That's amazing. To think about the fact that you've got building material, which doesn't have the kind of moisture content. I mean, a microwave oven operates primarily by flipping water molecules. Is that correct? But you're vibrating this inanimate objects, these building materials, to the extent that it's like sustained small earthquakes over a long period of time and weakening the actual material.
100%, and to add on to that, when you hear the utilities and the utility commission say that the meters are only going to be on for a short period of time, the grid is on 24/7. So as well as people being induced 24/7, the buildings are being hit 24/7. The higher the power density means the more violent the earthquakes will be within those structures. And here's where it's horrible. If a building, the utilities, as an example, are bypassing and taking over the jurisdiction of municipalities, their buildings are going to be illegal. The utility is going to have a liability for that. When the buildings are illegal, banks aren't going to finance them. They're not going to pass building codes. Something that I'm dealing with engineers right now is how many billions of times per measurable second before we say a hospital, a school, or any building just can't be occupied.
Wow.
And that's the reality of what's going on, and that is separate of the absolute horrific damage they're doing to everything within the coverage area.
Yes, amazing when you think about the kind of damage that it's doing to inanimate objects. You know, it can't even imagine what it's doing to living organisms, which are much more sensitive, much more finely tuned and balanced than a piece of concrete.
You imagine this. Our body is an example. Now, here's an example. We all have in North America, we have a 60 hertz electrical grid. And if you look at appliances inside your building, you'll see that those appliances also have a frequency of 60 hertz for that electrical compatibility.
Right.
And that's just so important. Now, you imagine here's a smart meter frequency of 900 megahertz, 900 million cycles per second, going through walls and roofs, going through a body, a fetus, everything, and also interacting with a brain that runs at a half a hertz, 8 hertz. You are talking electrical failure. And that's why we don't just deploy these frequencies like this. You have to incorporate every science department into that puzzle, or you're just going to have damages across the board and liabilities that far exceed anything anybody can imagine.
Well, what are your recommendations to the Public Utility Commission and other people about the smart, well, certainly not to have the smart meters, but what about the other issues that are already there in terms of things like Wi-Fi and cell phone use?
You know, here's something that's really horrible because, and this is another thing that shocked me as well as a science professional because, you know, science is science. When we build a building, you know, it's designed, it's engineered, building code deals with every aspect of that. When we build something and wire it, you know, we use electrical codes, it's engineered, and everything is done to such an incredible degree of accuracy. When it came to these frequencies, you can imagine this. When I looked up the law in Canada that says Safety Code 6 uses the same science standards as the FCC, same science standards as other international bodies, and it shocked the hell out of me, to put it mildly, that the code actually says this. We don't understand the mechanism linking the frequencies to adverse health effects. So once we do find out, we'll change codes, we'll do this. Instead of the reality is, when you've got this going on and an error that's admitted to be missing in that science, you would normally substantiate the science first. But this is where greed and stupidity and politics and everything else gets in the way of this. And so people just move forward with this technology without understanding. Have you ever seen the specific absorption rate? Have you ever seen what that looks like?
Now, when you talked to the Public Utility Commission, you said to them, you asked them, had they even looked at the effect on humans? What'd they tell you?
Well, you can imagine this. That's exactly what I did during cross-examination. The FCC in Canada and everybody uses what's called the specific absorption rate, which means they've predetermined that you can take a little bit of this radiation being induced into your body. Instead of, it's actually an admission of guilt and the negligence that they would do this. And here's what's horrible. When you're going to do an electrical equation and include frequencies, you have to include all of the voltage and frequency and electrical information associated with whatever the frequencies hit. So under cross-examination of the utility, they just considered people to be pieces of meat that were effectively heating or not heating, or that microwave effect that you talk about. Things were heating or not. When I cross-examined their medical professional, I said, are nerves electrical? And is your nervous system tied to your hormonal and immune systems? And he said, yes. Well, that kind of stimulation is to be avoided because it's going to cause that sickness. And I asked him, with your reports substantiating safety of your smart meter program, I said, where in your document does it show the electrical information, the frequencies of the human body, all of the electrical information you talked about with that organism, all that biology? And they said, it's not in our report. And I said, where is it in Safety Code 6? And they said, it's not in Safety Code 6. Wow. And so that means it's not in the FCC. So imagine this. These frequencies going through people is neurologically stimulating them. It is causing these problems. And to find out that these guys left out critical data, and they didn't consider humans to be electrical. Even under cross-examination, their medical professional, I asked him, what's the voltage of a cell? He said, minus 70 millivolts. You know, when I asked, where are all the frequencies associated with the human organism? He said, I don't think that's available anywhere.
That's amazing.
And it's amazing because here President Obama has said this, health costs will bankrupt the U.S. government. And, wow. And undoubtedly, that's the fact. And guess what these frequencies will do? These frequencies applied will bankrupt the U.S. government. Not only on top of that, they will literally kill everything in the coverage area because, you know, organisms were not electrically compatible with these frequencies. You can't talk about these frequencies as a normal natural frequency that's just part of our everyday life. It's not there. These experts for the utility and for their application, these are who we were cross-examining in front of the Public Utilities Commission. And the Public Utilities Commission's panel is sitting there listening to this. And what made this Utilities Commission, or this utilities application unique is this is the first time these mechanisms have been brought up for these guys to listen to. They always thought that, you know, these frequencies were safe to a certain degree. And the bottom line is they're not. And to watch their experts, including their electrical engineer, try to just sell a report that is so flawed, deficient, and flat earth science, it didn't even belong in the program. They're not even talking the same science.
That's amazing. Now, when was this hearing when did this take place?
The hearings just actually finished up last week, and the Public Utilities Commission right now is going over all the evidence.
Okay.
And they'll either accept that application or deny it. And if they, and listen, they have to deny it. The frequencies are illegal as applied across the board.
Well, we definitely want to keep in touch with you and have you back on and talk about how this resolves. And we want to see if they do the right thing or what their rationale is for what they're doing. And thank you for talking to us and explaining this to us. And we'll definitely follow up on this and find out how this resolves.
Can I just close with this part of it? This is
sure.
So important for people.
Sure.
The utility does not have the jurisdiction to radiate communities and people's property in their houses. People need to understand that very much. They do not have that authority. But because they didn't share any of this information with the municipality either, the municipality's engineering department's never heard any of this before. So
that's
you guys,
a great
thanks
point.
For your reporting on this really important issue. Horrific to see what's going on with this, but I'll look forward to sharing information and that we can answer questions later on. This isn't a singular opinion. It's just the diversity of my background that allowed me to look at this electrical mechanism.
That's a great point.
Thanks very much for your reporting. And also, this has the dangers of these frequencies has been lectured in medical education for education credits required for ongoing medical licensing and approved for lecture by the American Academy of Family Physicians, approved by boards of medicine, dentistry, nursing, meaning that it is no longer opinion, it is accepted medical education.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for pointing that out.
You guys
thank you, Curtis.
Very important work.
Thank you. Thank you, Curtis Bennett, Chief Science Officer for Thermographics Consulting. Expert testimony that he gave at a Public Utilities Commission hearing. Thank you. We'll have you back.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Well, Curtis Bennett made an excellent point. The Public Utility Commissions have the authority to supply power to the community, but they do not have the authority to radiate the community. They're clearly exceeding that. There are health issues. They need to be explored. Stay tuned to Prison Planet as we follow this story and the story of smart meters as they're rolling out across the country and how you can fight them. One of the ways you can follow that is to become a member of Prison Planet TV. You can share that information with other people, help them to wake up to what's going on with smart meters and other issues. Just one membership will allow you to share that with 10 other people simultaneously, and it helps to support our operation. Well, that's it for tonight's news. We'll be back tomorrow night at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.